a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the king." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
Oh, glorious day. Last week was living, he loved me. This week it is dying, he saved me. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree, suffering anguish. I trust that that word suffering gets deeper and more precious to you today. Despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that healed nations stretched out on the tree. He took those nails for me. He took those nails for me. He took those nails for
me.
Man, make that. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. The only reason the word buried is there is that lets you know that he really died. He really died on the cross. Anybody can be crucified, but they didn't die sometimes. Being buried makes it statement that he really died. And he carried our sins away. Everybody turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah is one of the great prophetic books in the Bible, and Isaiah 53 is the pinnacle of the book. All of the early chapters rises up to 53, and all the others bank on 53. So it's the pinnacle of the book. One author said it's the pinnacle chapter of the Bible, because the whole Bible rests on the suffering Savior. And there is so much in this, and it's quoted in the New Testament twice, and there's so much in it. John MacArthur was reading a book, a 900-page book just on Isaiah 53. A 900-page book just on this one chapter. Very important chapter. Isaiah 53. As it's being read this morning, I want you to think, when it gives you a word picture, it's a poem. It's a poem. It's a prophetic poem written 700 years before the death of Jesus. It's a poetic poem. And so it's in figurative languages and all of that. But if you'll think about Calvary and think about Jesus going to the cross and on the cross, you'll see some pictures, and we're going to show those. But as it's being read, I want you to look at it. Frankie, come and read it for us, please. Isaiah 53.
If you're using the Red Pew Bible, it's on page 548. I'll start in verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our gifts and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all of us, He was oppressed, and when he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide a spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Thank you.
Thank you, Frankie. Keep your place there in Isaiah 53 and go with me to Acts chapter 8. Isaiah 53, 7 and 8 is quoted in Acts chapter 8, verse 32. Acts 8, 32. Everybody go there with me, please. Acts 8, the Philip and the eunuch. The eunuch is reading the scriptures, and the Philip hears him reading, and he comes up and starts talking to him, and he said the place in the scripture that he was reading is Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 32, I trust you're there. It says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened not his mouth. Verse 33, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. Who is this person? And he says, who is this man? Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, Isaiah? Of himself or of some other man? Look at verse 35. Everybody look at verse 35. Who is chapter 53 of Isaiah talking about? And he preached unto him?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and it's very important that we understand that. Go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. So we have a suffering Savior here. And so we're in Isaiah 52. I want you to look at Isaiah 52. The chapters and verses, I don't know if you know this, the chapters and verses, the chapters were put in the Bible in 1227. In 1227, one of the guys reading the Bible says, my goodness, we need some direction here. And so he put the chapters in. They weren't in the original text. So he put all the chapters in. And then the verses, another man came around in 1554 and put in the verses. So the chapters and verses are not in the original. It just went. Aren't you glad they put the chapters and verses in? So you can say, turn to Isaiah 53, verse 5. And you're sitting there, wouldn't it be terrible to say, well, go a couple pages and come down and over a little bit. No, they put in the chapters and verses. Great, great. But all of that is not inspired. Most writers hold that Isaiah 53 should start in Isaiah 52 verse 12. The poem is there, and this is a very poetic poem. In the English, we do not catch the poetry of it, but in the Hebrew, it's a very, very detailed poem, and Isaiah was a great poet, and it's a prophetic poem, and Isaiah has broken down into three verses each, and you'll see it on the back here. He was the human servant. He's fully human, and then he's a man of sorrow. He's going to start suffering. And then he's our substitute. It's the greatest part of the whole poem. The poem, Hebrew poems start and they crescendo in the middle. And this poem, the third stanza is the highest. It is the substitution. And then he deals with the sacrifice of sin. And then that God is satisfied. Those last three verses, if you don't know much about the Bible, seem shock. Wait till we hit them. But it's awesome there to catch that. And Isaiah 52 verse 13. I trust you there. Isaiah 52 verse 13. And it says this, behold my, that's God, we got to catch who's talking here. Behold my servant shall dwell prudently, act wisely, prosper, okay? He'll deal with it. He'll have life and love and service. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. He'll be respected. He'll be praised. He'll be highly honored. Verse 14, as many as astonished at thee. They're looking and they're kind of amazed. Here it is. His visage, his form, his face was marred more than any man. When he was beat, when he was slapped, when he had the thorn of crowns, when his beard was plucked. Don't take that lightly. Either you die in hell forever for your own sins, or Jesus bore your sins. Now we need to let that touch us. Because that's the only reason we're getting into heaven. I don't get into heaven because I'm good. I don't get to heaven because I married the most beautiful woman in the world. I don't get to heaven because I'm a preacher. I only get to heaven because of what Jesus did. That's it. And he took our pain. He took our punishment. He paid our penalty. And that's why we must get people here for church in Easter. They're going to come. People go to church on Easter. Might as well come here. And you can invite them. That's why we have those papers out there. It's kind of silly. And most people say, free kids? I don't care what it says. I want you to get it. We're going to have a great day here, but we need people. Because if people don't know Jesus, no matter how good they are, they go to hell. And this is why Jesus died. And it says his visage was marred more than any man, his form, his body, more than the sons of men. He was beat badly. Many men never came through the beating, the scourging, the cat of nine tails beating with the steel and the glass and tearing the back and breaking into the ribs and hitting the organs and killed people in the beatings. He was a bloody mess. He did that for you. Is that right? He did that for me. Let it touch you. Verse 15, this is his humanity, his servant. So shall he sprinkle. There's a couple, this Hebrew word is hard to catch. They cleansing, sprinkling like water, cleansing with his blood, or it is startling. One translation says, and he will startle many nations, okay? And it says, he will sprinkle. Maybe he'll cleanse them or startle them. Both is good. And he says, the kings shall shut their mouths at him. They're speechless. The kings, the earth, they don't, wow, this man is better, bigger, more powerful than me. He's God. They're speechless in his presence. And it says, for that which had not been told them shall they see. They will see things that aren't natural. His miracles, he's wow. He raises from the dead. He dies. He does miracles. He heals people. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. Now, they will understand what they have never heard about. Salvation is being altered. We have a man coming, a God man, that's going to suffer. And he's going to do things miraculously. And you'll realize he's the Savior of the world. And powerful there. Chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our reports? You know, they've rejected. And who to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? They didn't understand. He came into his own, and his own what? Received him not. They did not understand. Verse 2. For he, note this is a person, shall grow up, be born, live, learn, mature, shall grow up before him, before God, as a tender plant. He's human. He grows. He did. And as a root out of dry ground. It wasn't easy. It's a tough life. He hath no form nor comeliness, no physical attraction. If Jesus would walk in today, he was just a regular person. I mean, he was regular like you and me. You wouldn't even notice, oh, that's Jesus. No, you only notice when he heals people or when he starts speaking. You realize, wow. Today we have a lot of on the outward appearance that somebody is beautiful. I want you to know he was not attractive. He was not appealing. And it says he was comely. And when we shall see him, catch this, there is no physical beauty, no regular, normal man that we should desire him. Aren't you glad he was normal? Are you normal? Some of you are not. You know, but he was normal. He was regular. And he was God. Verse 3, this is his sorrows. He is despised and rejected. We've already hit that a little bit, but he said he was a man of sorrows, mistreated. Was he mistreated all of his life? Rejected, beat, accused, and acquainted with grief, disappointments. and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed. We didn't honor, value, respect Him not. You know, we looked at Him as a failure. We didn't associate with Him. We didn't want to be around Him. We crucified Him. The Jewish people did. Man of sorrow. He was a servant. He was human. He's a man of sorrow, verses 1 to 3. Verses 4, 5, and 6 are the pinnacle. Here we go. Here we go. And it says, surely He hath bore our grief. He took it. He paid it. He endured it. And carried our sorrows, our hurts, our disappointments. Yet, he's going to say this a couple times. This is the substitutionary atonement. This is the vicarious. It's pinnacle. It's substitutionary. All those words are the same. Atonement. He atoned. He paid. He paid for our sins. We should have been there, but He was substituted in our place. He paid our debt. That's the substitutionary atonement. That is one of the greatest doctrines of the Bible. That you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die forever. He died, and His death was payment for your sins. And so God substituted Him for you, and thus you live, and He died. And you believe it. That's the substitutionary atonement of Jesus. Powerful, powerful, and it is wonderful. Surely, verse 4, surely, it's for sure, He has bore our griefs. He paid it and carried, took them, our sorrows. We should have had it. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We saw Him losing, failing, dying. And we just thought, well, boy, God's getting him. He's guilty. He's being punished. He's getting his just reward. We're seeing He's paying His own debt. No, He paid our debt. He didn't pay His debt. He did no sin. Verse 5, He was wounded for our, catch that word, in every one of them, our, my transgressions. He was bruised. He was hit. He was scourged. He was bruised for our iniquities. The word transgression, iniquities, same word, sins, my sins. The chastisement, the punishment, the payment of my peace. Remember, when Adam sinned, it broke our peace with God. And we enter into Adam's sin, and so all are sinners, so we're not at peace with God, we're enemies with God. And by His death, He reestablished our peace. We can now be right with God. He paid the sin penalty so that we can be at peace with Him again. We lost it when we sinned, but when He died for our sins, and the wages of sin is death, when He died for our sins, we can be right with God again, walk with God again, have fellowship with God again, go to heaven again, huh? That's the beauty of it. That's, wow, He was wounded for me, my sins. He was bruised, beat, hit for my sins, my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Keep your place there in Isaiah 53, verse 5. And let's all go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. You got to see this. A lot of churches today are using this, by stripes we are healed. And they're using that to claim that physical healing was given in the resurrection. I pray for healing, but I'm not a healer. And God doesn't promise healing to everybody with this verse in Isaiah 53, 5. Peter quotes this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I trust you're there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He interprets this verse. And it's very important that you see this, because the by His stripes, by His beatings, by His death, we are healed. We're healed spiritually. We're healed from hell. We're healed from our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I trust you're there. Who hath bare, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, quoting from there, Isaiah 53, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Here's a direct quote from Isaiah 53. By whose stripes ye were what? Healed. It is very important that you know that that healing there is your sin payment healing. That you are forgiven, that you are delivered from hell by His death. You don't have to die. That's what it's saying. And we're forgiven of our sins. We're declared righteous. You're not righteous. I'm not righteous. No matter how good we are. How many sins makes you a sinner? Boy, we're all in trouble, huh? Because of Adam, we're sinners. And because of our own sins, we're sinners. And one sin makes us guilty of all. Oh, I need a Savior. That's what you need to come to. And that's why Jesus died. If we don't grab the Savior, His death's in vain. Nobody should go to hell. Hell was only made for the devil and his angels. Nobody should go to hell. He died for every man. And it's important that we realize that. But if you don't receive Him, you miss it. You miss His love and grace. And you get His wrath and justice. And you don't have to. Because He bore your iniquities. And by His stripes, you don't have to be sick and going to hell. You can be healed. And it's wonderful. Back to Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. I just wanted you to see that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The healing is a sin healing, is a salvation, is a forgiveness. It's wonderful. Verse 6, very famous verse. All of you know it. All we like sheep. Notice the first word is what? All. Does that cover everybody? Does that cover you, me, everybody? Your unchurched friends that you need to invite next Sunday? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone wrong. We're condemned. We're going to hell. We're not on our way to heaven because one sin makes us a sinner. And we got to repent of our sins and trust Jesus as our Savior and let Him come into our lives and start that river flowing out with peace and joy and forgiveness and usefulness of His direction. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Not God's way, but my way. It's the wrong way. And the Lord, God hath laid on Him, Jesus, our substitute, the iniquity of us all. Isn't that wonderful? He took it. He paid it. You're paid. You know, you're guilty. But somebody walks up and says, I paid the fine. I got a traffic ticket one day. I wasn't wearing my seatbelt, and it was Seatbelt Awareness Day. And a policeman pulled me over for not having my seatbelt on. And he said, it is Seatbelt Awareness Day, and you get to be involved. I said, thank you. That's wonderful. And he wrote me a ticket out. And then I opened my big mouth and said, do you know Mike Hershberger? And, oh yeah, he's out giving out tickets for this great day too. This is a wonderful day we're celebrating. And, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't give you a ticket. And I said, that's why I didn't tell you after you gave me a ticket. And I said, I think it's wonderful. I get to add to my community. I get to give. Is that right? I get to give. Then I found out that Mike tore up my ticket and I didn't get to give any to the community. And he took my place. Is that right? He destroyed my ticket. He paid my way. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus paid your way. Jesus, you should have paid. You're guilty. You should go to hell. You should die for your sins forever. But He died in your place, and that should just thrill you. And if you're not saved, man, you can get saved. it is wonderful, because he laid on him the sin, the evil, the iniquity of us. Wow. Verse 7. This begins the sacrificial three verses, the sin sacrifice. He was oppressed. It means overloaded. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. Sheep don't talk. They just die. So he opened not his mouth. He humbled. He didn't complain. He didn't claim his rights. He just was sacrificed. He gave his life so that the lost world could have life. Verse 8, he was taken from prison. This is one of the hardest verses to interpret. He was taken from prison. He was arrested. And from judgment, you know, he was humiliated and he received no justice. He was innocent. And who shall declare his generations? Who shall defend him? Who shall deliver him? There's no one. His own people crucified him. For he, catch this, this is great prophecy right here. For he was cut off, he was killed out of the land of the living. He died. Amen? He died. For the transgressions of my people, Israel, was he stricken? Was he beaten? The Amplified says, after oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, his contemporaries, who among them concerned himself with the fact that he was cut off from the land of the living by his death? For the transgressions of my people, to whom the stroke of death was due. We should die, but he died. In my place, for my sins, not his sins. He's the righteous one. He took my sins and he gave me his righteousness. That's salvation. Verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked. Did he die with some criminals? Amen. Did he die a criminal's death? Was he a criminal? No. He was innocent. But he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Did he die in a rich man's tomb? Was he buried in a rich man's tomb? Joseph of Arimathea. You can see that. Because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit, untruth, dishonesty found in his mouth. He was not a deceiver. He was innocent. And he was... He died the criminal's death. He was buried in a rich man's tomb, prophesied 700 years before it happened. Amen? That's how we know that our Savior lives. Verse 10, he is sin sacrificed. Verse 10, 11, and 12 are powerful verses. These are hard to understand unless you realize God and love and sin and justice. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to crush him. It pleased the Lord. Keep with me. He hath put him to grief. God allowed him to die, his own son. Wow, why? When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Do you catch it? Wow. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He's going to save many people. He's going to be the king of the world, Jesus. And he's going to prosper. He's going to save the world. And it pleased God. That's where we get the word propitiation. That it satisfied God. His death satisfied God completely as the full payment for our sins. And so it pleased God that we have a Savior. You know, we had a sinner in Adam, and all sinned, and all sinned from Adam. Now we have a Savior, and it pleased God. It was, yes! Now his son had to die. Wow. But his son was going to rise. But if he didn't die, all of the creation would go to hell. And so God, it pleased God to let Jesus be crushed and bruised and be killed for the sins of the world so He could have spiritual children. His seed could go on forever. Verse 11, He shall see the travail of His soul. Was God watching the whole time Jesus was dying? Think about that. How would you like to watch your own son die? That's what God did. He shall see the travail of His soul, and He shall be what? Say it with me. Satisfied. Wow. How could that be? He saves the world. My boy saves the world. Jesus saves the world. That's why He was satisfied. It pleased Him. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant, Jesus, my righteous servant, justify many. Note we've already hit all, so the many means all. For He shall bear their iniquities. He's going to save their soul. He bore our griefs. Now He bears our iniquities. Substitution. Verse 12, when we close, therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great. He's going to be the great one. He's going to be the Savior of the world, the King of the universe. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death, Jesus substituting, dying for our sins, and He was numbered with the transgressors. He died the criminal's death, a sinner's death. He bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He prayed. He went to the Father and He says, they're guilty, but I died for them. They're forgiven. Ever sin. They're guilty. I died for them. I personally died for them. I guarantee their forgiveness forever. He identified with us. And because of His sins, we don't die. We live. Oh, let it touch you. Let it touch you. Let me read you one verse. Everybody close your eyes and bow your heads and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for He hath made Him, for God hath made Jesus Him to be sin for us. He became sin for us. He took our sin. He took your sin. He died in your place. You should die and go to hell, but He died, so you don't have to go to hell. For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He let Jesus die. Horrible death. Bear our griefs, bear our shames, wounded, bleeding, being nailed to a cross, marred more than any man. But He took our sins and He gave us His righteousness. That's what's being saved. If you're saved here this morning, my, get charged up, because it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You have a Savior. You have a substitute. You have a person that died in your place and fully paid all your sin debt so that you can go to heaven and you can have life here right now, as we preached last week. And my, revel in it, rejoice in it, live in it. Life, forgiveness. Wonderful. And that's why you must do your best to bring somebody here next Sunday to hear this wonderful message. It's not the bunny. It's not the Easter bunny. It's not candy. It's a Savior. And that's what we're going to give them. Do your best. Do your best, believer. Do your best. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Man, you can be saved. That's all you have to do is repent. You realize I'm a sinner. And then Jesus is the Savior. Jesus, I commit my life to You. I confess my sins to You. I claim Your forgiveness. Save my soul. Change my life. Live in me. Thank You, Jesus. If you've never done that, it's time to do that. You can do it right in your pew there. Just believe. Receive. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you need somebody to talk with you, we would love to talk with you. Man, grab that Bible and start reading it this week. Our reading this week has it from Matthew, and it's all about the Holy Week, all the suffering of Jesus up to resurrection. It's in our weekly reading in your bulletin. Read it. Believe it. Come alive. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you would like someone to talk to you about that personally and privately. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I need somebody to pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. If you just raise your hand, I'll quietly make that happen. Nobody looking around, I'll quietly make that happen. Just real simple. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I? If you're not sure you're saved, could I pray with you? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone? Love to pray for you. I'll pray for you. You write your hand up, and if you would like me to get somebody to talk with you right now to make sure you know you're saved, I can make that happen right now. Just look at me and I'll make that happen. If not, I can make that happen. Would you like me to make that happen? Very good. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. I just pray with you. Pray with you. Make this happen quietly. Anybody else? Raise your hand. I'll pray with you. Lord Jesus, help each of us to joy in our salvation. It is free, but it costs Jesus everything. And it costs God His only begotten Son. Lord, revel in our salvation. And Lord, help us to know that He stayed on that cross to save our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.